If you take your Bibles, we're not looking at any passage in particular, but you might find it useful as we go through. There are a number of different places where we'll be stopping as we think about family. And we're going to take a few moments just to look into God's Word and be encouraged, I trust, with a reminder of God's love for family and of God's command for us to be committed to family. It's my understanding that centuries ago, King Edward I of England decreed that gold and silver needed to be tested and approved by master craftsmen before it would be sold, because there was a problem with impurities and there was a problem with counterfeit. And later, London artisans were required to bring their finished metal goods to the Goldsmiths' Hall, in order that it could be checked. And then if those items were quality items, they would be marked with a special stamp of approval. And it's much like the process that is actually in place today. And at first, people used Hallmark in order to name that mark of excellence that came from Goldsmiths' Hall. But over the years, that word, Hallmark, has come to refer to any mark that sort of guarantees purity or guarantees genuineness of the article in question, and eventually for any way of signifying outstanding talent or creativity or excellence. Today, I'd like us to take a few moments to celebrate God's gift of family, and to take a look at some of those hallmarks of a happy home, those things that testify to a happy home. We want to talk about family, both natural family and also spiritual family. So just a number of things that I'd like to indicate to you as those things that are hallmarks of a happy home. And first, it's faith. Faith is a hallmark of a happy home. From Hebrews 11 and verse 1, we have this, and it tells us this: faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Faith is what apprehends that invisible treasure. The Bible teaches that the object of faith, the one in whom we place our faith, is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There are many persons, many places, many things into which we could place our trust during our lifetime, but we're called upon to prioritize our life and to put our faith in God and our faith in Jesus Christ above all else. I want to suggest to you that perhaps greater than any other component in the Christian life is faith, nothing more important than faith. In fact, it's so important that we have to recognize without faith, we have no place, no standing with God, and it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says that. When we ask why have faith? Well, very simply, as that verse says, the only way for us to have a true relationship with God is by faith, by trust. And it's only as we have that true relationship with God that we can have true relationships with one another, our natural family and our spiritual family. It has huge implications for families. It's only by faith that only by faith in God's revealed word that we understand God's design for the family. And it's so critical for us to understand God's design. The place of the family, as you know, is extremely important in the Bible, both in that natural sense, the families that we're born into and born with, and then in the spiritual sense, the family into which we are adopted as children of the living God. The concept of family is something that God introduced right in the very beginning. Now, we see it in Genesis 1 and 28. God had created Adam and Eve, and here's what he said. He blessed them. He said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves along the ground." Right from the very beginning, God has set his seal of approval upon the family. And the family is instrumental in God seeing his purposes fulfilled amongst us. God's plan for creation was that men and women would marry and have children, and they would have their part in filling out God's creative purposes in the world. A man and a woman would form one flesh, a one-flesh union through marriage. Genesis 2:24 indicates that to us. And then with their children, they'd become family, and they would be the essential building block of human society. That's not just something that we say on Family Day. That's a reality that affects our society in vastly important ways. Faith is critical to a happy home. And then a second hallmark of a happy home is grace. Grace. And we see so much teaching of grace in the scriptures. Grace, as you know, means to receive something that you don't deserve. Maybe it's to avoid a penalty that you do deserve, or it's to receive a favor, unmerited favor that you don't deserve. And God, we're told, is abundant in mercy and in grace. And we need this in our families. Grace is not only required for salvation, for our proper true relationship with God, but also for building family life. Don't we need grace, don't we, with our families? Families don't hold together unless there is copious grace. Acts 20 and verse 32 says this, "Now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified." It's grace that gives strength for building up. You see, grace simplifies life by filling us with the knowledge of unconditional acceptance, that God loves us without condition, and that we love one another. It frees us from the crushing weight of anger and bitterness. It releases us from the burdens of vengeance. And it liberates us from just a world focused in, collapsed in upon ourselves, into a world that is delightfully involves others. Forgiveness, that's an aspect of grace. And forgiveness promotes strong marriages. Relationships between parent and child are secure because of forgiveness. And siblings love one another through good times and bad because of the practice of forgiveness. Because we live in a sinful world, it's a necessary thing for us to be quick to forgive and to see hurts healed and to see people, relationships restored. We need to build in a long-term intimacy, so critical. And the Bible upholds the importance of these things. If there's anyone you need to forgive, then the first response is to step out and forgive. Offer them forgiveness today. This is the call to family life. And another aspect of grace is acceptance. Acceptance. It is this gift of grace itself that brings us to accept one another and hold one another dear. It creates that sense of security that says, I am loved. Regardless of what I'm facing, or regardless of how I feel about myself, I am loved. Acceptance. Drawn in. So there's the second hallmark of a happy home, is grace. Here's another. You probably have guessed at this. Love is a hallmark of a happy home. The Bible tells us that God's true nature is love. God himself is love. And that's the place from which we draw our understanding of love. God's the source of love. He's the initiator of a loving relationship with us. And any love that we have for God is actually a response to his first love for us. 1 John 4 and 10 just speaks out this truth so well. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. It's love. It's love. And of course, our human understanding of love is flawed. We have so many misunderstandings. It's weak. It's incomplete. But the more we look at Jesus, the more we see the love of God in the face of Jesus, the more we come to understand what true love is and the kind of love that ought to direct our lives. You don't have to look very hard in Scripture to discover that God's plan for the family is fully invested in this characteristic of love. It's in the letter to the Ephesians where Paul writes to husbands and wives, and he says that husbands are to love their wives as much as Christ loved the church. This is Ephesians 5:25. And when we reflect on the question, well, how much did Christ love the church? Well, he loved the church so much that he gave himself. He laid his life down for the church. That's how much husbands are to love their wives, according to the teaching of Paul. Husbands are to love their wives just as Christ loved the church. To love their wives as their own bodies, Paul says in verse 28 of that same chapter. And then the letter goes on to say this other very high, noble, beautiful thing. It says, the love of husband and wife for each other is a reflection of the love of Christ for the church. It's the love of Christ and his bride. So husbands and wives, the question to revisit this morning is your love for each other a reflection of the love of Christ for the church? That part of the letter to the Ephesians is a beautiful description of God's plan for family. And we remind ourselves and celebrate this good aspect of family. Someone has said this, love your family, spend time, be kind, and serve one another. Make no room for regrets. Tomorrow is not promised, and today is short. It's a good reflection. And more than this, the Bible tells us that family is not only natural family, but family is spiritual family. And in this we ought to take great delight. Because of God's love in Jesus Christ, we have been made to be brothers and sisters in the family of God. And this sets us apart from every other gathering or every other grouping. We have been made to be brothers and sisters, family, in and through Jesus Christ. You'll remember that during his ministry, Jesus shattered some of the prevailing notions of what it meant to be family. There's a wonderful story in Matthew 12, 46 to 50, where Jesus speaks about his family and then also speaks about those who follow him as disciples. Here are the words. While Jesus was still speaking to the crowd, his mother and brothers stood outside wanting to speak to him. Someone told him, "Your mother and brothers are standing outside wanting to speak to you." He replied to him, "Who is my mother? And who are my brothers?" And pointing to his disciples, he said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whosoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Now, that doesn't mean that Jesus undervalues our natural family or gives us any excuse not to love and just give ourselves to our natural family. He's not dismissing that, but what he is doing is making it clear that as part of those who belong to Christ in his kingdom, we are family, and we're to live as family, to give ourselves to one another as family. The connection is spiritual, and it's ours, and it's a rich treasure. One of the defining characteristics of happy homes and of spiritual family is love for one another. Jesus' own words that, again, characterize so much of his teaching, John 13, 34 and 35, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." That's the third hallmark that I bring to you of a happy home this morning. Here's the fourth, nurture. We need to be those who nurture. There's a hallmark of a happy home. We see early on in Scripture that family members are meant to look after each other, to care for one another. You remember that early story where God asks Cain, "Where is Abel, your brother?" Do you remember that story? And Cain's response is this defiant, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And the implication of the story is, yes, Cain, you are your brother's keeper. You must be your brother's keeper, and Abel is your keeper. Cain murdered his brother, and it was a great offense against humanity. And it becomes one of those first markings in Scripture of the egregious nature of taking the life of a brother. It's in Ephesians 6 that we read, where Paul says, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." This nurture, it's so critical because we do not see this kind of nurture. Nurture in the things of the Lord, the instruction of the Lord, and the life and love of the Lord, except in the context of the brothers and sisters. This is where we see it happening. This the Greek word underlying that state, that word bring up, raise up your children in this way, the Greek word ektrepho, means to nurture. To nourish our young ones, to provide for them with care that feeds and looks after and trains. We're to provide the kind of care that will promote healthy growth and the image of Christ, the character of Christ in our own children. We're to deal with the spiritual and moral development. Fathers, this is our responsibility. Mothers, this is our responsibility to raise them up in this way. To have a right relationship with God, to walk under God's control and direction, that's the fruit of the nurturing of godly parents. And when we provide that right kind of nurture, we can expect happy homes. It's a hallmark of a happy home. And one last one I want to share with you this morning, and it's hope. Hope is a hallmark of a happy home. People can survive without much food and water for a while, shelter or clothing and transportation. Even affection, we can survive without it for a while. But without hope, many of us would have just given up and been long gone by now. Hope is the essence of faith. It's the essence of a relationship with God and of the blessings that God will bring. I love Isaiah 41 and verse 10. It says this, "So do not fear," God speaking, "so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and heal you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's the God who gives hope. God recognizes that the hurt that comes in life so often is in the context of family. The teaching of Scripture is not ideal, somehow lifted above the realities that we face in our day-to-day living. God knows that life in the family is a struggle often. And God cares about family life. God cares that we know His blessing in our own family experience. We see it so often, just in so many places in Scripture. We're reading of stories of families, Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, as we just mentioned, Noah and his sons, or Job, the story of Job, or the story of Abraham, and what goes on in Abraham's life, and the promise of great blessing, great offspring, or the story of Naomi, if you remember that story, and the grief that she struggled with, or the story of Hannah and her barrenness. God is concerned about family life. Even Jesus experiences struggle in his own family context, and Jesus brings healing into these contexts. The demands of this life, as you know, can bring us down. Spiritually, we struggle. Emotionally, we find our strength waning. Physically, even, it can wear us down. But remembering that we have hope in Christ, remembering that God is concerned and God desires to bring blessing into our family lives, even beyond our own resources, that gives us hope. It's the power of God, evidenced in Jesus Christ, that overcomes evil with good. What was meant for evil, God brings to good, to bless and not to curse. And the one who draws on God's word finds the strength of God in the context of family. My own family is no stranger to struggles. The family I grew up in, we've had our struggles. I grew up in a large family. I'm the second of seven children. My parents were not very inventive because each of the names of the seven children in our family begin with the same letter of the alphabet. I guess you start off and you kind of get stuck on it and you go. So I'm the second of the seven. We have David, Dale, Douglas, Daphne, Darren, and Daniel Dawson in our family. Yeah, you can imagine. My mom had some mixtures of those names that I don't know that I could ever reproduce. My parents struggled. They didn't have much, and they worked hard. And in fact, often they made sacrifices, struggled with money, and just barely made it through. But they worked hard. They were very patient. They were faithful. They gave themselves to these good principles, and they made a real go of it. And our family has been blessed even through, because of that, even though there have been struggles. One of the things my family has struggled with, I have a brother who was raised in the context of the church, a believer in Jesus Christ. But he was somewhat socially awkward. That may not surprise you, just knowing his brother. But he found it hard to kind of get along with others. And it was a while before he got interested in a girl and she got interested in him. Things moved quickly. They ended up living together, common law. And it was a struggle. It was a real struggle. They had a baby girl. And we did everything we could as family to support them and help them move in a pathway that would honor God's will and way in their lives. And now they're married and they have a stable home for their daughter. I have another brother who disappeared from our family early on in his adult life. We didn't know where he was. We got a call one day that told us the location of where he was, and he announced that he was interested in getting married. He had met someone, he was going to get married. Turns out he got married that day. He was letting us know that he was being married, and 3 months later, the marriage was over, and he never married again, never had a significant relationship that way again. Families have struggles. Families work through difficult things. I have a sister who loved children, but she never married, and she was greatly desirous of giving birth to a child and having her own child, but she never had that. She never had that privilege, but she bore that with grace as God gave her strength. I have another brother who he and his wife decided that they were going to adopt a child from Africa, and this was a child who had a great deal of serious emotional trauma in her younger life, and it has been a very difficult thing for them to integrate that child into their family, and it's put them under all kinds of stress. But God has been faithful, and God has brought blessing, and there's a wholeness that is developing that really is a beautiful thing to see. I have a sister who, for years into her marriage, could not have children, and it was a point of great pain for her. Placed a lot of struggle upon her own relationship with her husband, until one joyous day, she became pregnant, and they have a wonderful daughter together. No one is saying family life is easy. No one is saying there's no struggles. But we are saying that God, when He places His mark upon a family, and when we give ourselves to family, there is blessing untold. We have such a great hope. Paul's words, actually, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 12, he says, "Since we have such a hope, we are very bold." I believe that's how we ought to be with our families, because we have the hope of God within us, because God has made us as we are, and because God has called us into family, both natural family and spiritual family, we ought to be very bold. Bold before God in prayer, bold about the things that God has revealed amongst us. Well, I just want to say this morning to you, as regards spiritual family, as regards us as brothers and sisters in Christ, how grateful we are, from my own family, from Linda and I, and then from our pastoral staff and families, and from our leadership, how grateful we are for the Uxbridge Baptist Church family. There's a lot of love here. I do hope you know that. I hope you know that there's just a great love for one another. We've been in Uxbridge for nearly 12 years now, so we're still outsiders by a long shot. But we feel like we're becoming family more and more. And we've been through a lot with you. And I'm just so grateful for that. We've been through a lot with you as individuals. Great struggles, great trials, tests of faith, tremendous grief, hurts and illnesses and losses and setbacks. Every loss is one that we personally feel. We feel that deeply. And it's been just an incredible privilege to walk together with you. You know, something has happened in those events, and God does something that makes life rich together, even when we walk through the valley. We've become one, and that's a glorious thing. So I want to say to you, just kind of wrapping up here, I want to say to you, thank you for loving us. Thank you for giving us a place in this family. It's not a secret, I know. We're not easy to love. And we disappoint, and we cause trouble, and maybe more than most. But still, you love us, and you welcome us. And some of you even respect us and receive us as gifts of God for this family of believers. So my verbal Hallmark card to you, if I can play on the term, is simply this. We love you. We take a great deal of delight in you, and we consider it to be just an unspeakable blessing to walk as family together. The words of the Apostle Paul are these. I think he says it best. This is Philippians 1, 8 to 11. Paul says, God is my witness, how I yearn for you with all the affection of Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. May God bless you this morning. Would you bow with me in prayer as we give thanks to God for all of his blessings, for the wonderful gift of family. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you for how it directs us to those things that are most important, most valuable. And our God, we do confess to you that often our hearts stray and we look for those things that perhaps entice and excite, but the value is so minimal and it passes so quickly. Lord, we thank you for the love of this spiritual family and for the way we value one another, and for that is a testament to the love of Christ for us. And we would pray, Lord God, we would pray that it's so much greater expression of the love of family would be known amongst us because of the love of Christ. Lord, let it be. We give you thanks. We worship you. We give you thanks for one another. Magnify this grace, we pray, through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.